And let us pray. O holy God, may the words of my mouth, the thoughts of all our minds, and the meditations on each of our hearts, may they be acceptable to you. You call us by name. We are yours. So may all we do and say bring honor to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's confirmation weekend here at McCabe United Methodist Church, and during this service, six of our young people will publicly claim their faith in Jesus Christ and their commitment to a lifetime of Christian service. These six young people have participated in 2 years of Wednesday night classes during which we explored Bible stories, Christian faith, issues of discipleship, and the history and beliefs of the United Methodist Church. Their families have supported them in the midst of this process, and this past year, most of our confirmands also had mentors walking alongside them, mentors with whom they prayed and had critical conversations about life and faith. I said this last year in my sermon on Confirmation Sunday, and I'm going to say it again. Preaching on Confirmation Weekend presents a unique challenge to the preacher, especially in a congregation like ours where we have multiple worship services over the course of the weekend, but where confirmation is only happening at one of those services. See, a preacher preaches primarily to those being confirmed on confirmation weekend. And a preacher preaches to those being confirmed hoping that she or he will say something the confirmation students, the confirmands, can remember and hang on to. Over the course of this weekend, hundreds of people will worship with us here at McCabe, but this sermon was written specifically with our six confirmands in mind. As I told them during our rehearsal on Wednesday evening, my sermon this weekend is first and foremost for them. You all just get to kind of listen in. Of course, I certainly hope the rest of you glean something of worth from this message, but the rest of you are not my primary interest this morning. Well, in addition to it being confirmation weekend here at McCabe, it is also the start of a new series, Search, Real Answers to Tough Questions.
Questions. We all have them. Do you ever wonder if there are answers out there? Truth is, we're all searching for answers. Join us for a new series. We'll ask life's big questions and seek out God answers. Together, let's begin our search.
Since the advent of the internet and its companion search engines, many of us have opted to go to browsers like Google when we have questions in life. Honestly, I've got to believe that every medical professional around the world has a love-hate relationship with Google, because pretty much everyone I know, myself included, asks the internet what's wrong with them before actually asking their healthcare provider. Of course, sometimes it's perfectly fine to ask Google for help when you're searching for answers. But sometimes the internet just isn't the right or the best place. Where do I fit in? Is it okay to have doubts? Does God really love me? Does God speak to me? Why do bad things happen? I believe these questions we're exploring during this series are best asked of those who love us, who know us, and who want what's best and most faithful for us. And let's be honest, no matter how much Google knows about our search history, Google does not love us, And Google does not particularly care about what's best and most faithful for us. Many years ago, I worked with a high school-aged young woman who, on a daily basis, dealt with very high levels of anxiety. For a host of reasons, she had many deep questions about faith, some of which had to do with her very worth as a human being. Instead of first seeking out patient and trusted adults to talk with about her questions, she went online and sought answers through blogs and other random postings she found. As a result, instead of finding the empathy and the support she desperately needed, what she found caused her to become more anxious and more fearful. Because the internet and the people in the various online communities she'd found, well, they did not personally love her, and they did not care about what was best and most faithful for her. My heart ached for her because by the time we got connected, her internet searching had done far more damage than good. Where do I fit in? Is it okay to have doubts? Does God really love me? Does God speak to me? Why do bad things happen? These are fundamental questions that many of us struggle to find answers for throughout our lives. And of course, these are only five of life's tough questions. We know there are so, so many more tough questions worthy of answering, or rather attempting to answer. That's why Pastor Mark and I are leaving the sixth and final week of this series open. Hopefully you have one of these search cards in your bulletin. You'll notice on one side is information about the question we'll be seeking to answer each week of the series. On the other side, there's blank space at the bottom where you can write any question of faith and life you may have on your mind and heart. You can put your card and your question in the offering plate, and then for the last week of the series, Pastor Mark and I will answer one or more of the questions, particularly if, as we collect the cards, certain questions or certain themes emerge on multiple cards. So here we are, week one of this new series, seeking to answer a question many of us begin to ask when we are very young, a question most of us never grow out of asking. Where do I fit in? So often we think of this as a question for the elementary school child walking into a new school for the first time. Will the kids here like me? Or for the high school student playing on a new sports team, will my team members be glad I made the cut? Or for the college graduate moving to a new town for their first real job, will I find friends here? Where do I fit in? I don't know about you all, but so far in my 40-ish years of life on planet Earth, I have never stopped asking this question. Because wondering about and worrying over whether or not there's a place and a purpose for you, wherever you find yourself located, well, those are wonderings and worries we don't always grow out of. Or rather, we don't grow out of those wonderings and worries without time and intention. Where do I fit in? In Romans chapter 12, St. Paul told the earliest Christians that just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. This is probably my favorite metaphor for the church as the body of Christ. I love this reminder that we are each blessed with unique abilities, and that even though each one of us is different from the others in the church together, we are all part of the same body. Maybe you're like an eye and you keep watch over those who are struggling. Maybe you're an ear and you listen well. Maybe you're a mouth with the ability to speak faithfully in ways that cause others to pay attention. Or maybe you're a hand that blesses the world with bell or drum music. Or you're a foot that serves God's people out in the world. Or you're a heart that cares for children. Or a belly that brings much needed laughter. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. And of course, the body we're part of is the body of Christ. With Jesus as our head, the one we look to for guidance, we all fit in somewhere, and we are all called to serve him in our own particular way. Where do I fit in? The short answer is here. You fit in here at McCabe. There's a place for you and your unique gifts and perspectives right here. Many years ago, I met with a family to talk with them about baptizing their newest child. I had baptized their older child a couple of years before, and we hadn't seen much of them at the church in the time between that first baptism and the one I was about to do. As we were talking, one of the parents apologized for their absence. He had grown up in a different church tradition than ours, and he had some internal struggles ongoing with the church in general. But baptism was important to them. Plus, life was chaotic. He had a traveling job, and they just couldn't always get it together to get to church. He knew that an important part of baptism is commending your child to God and committing to raise your child in the church so that someday they will come to claim faith in Jesus for themselves. So they apologized that they hadn't been very present since their older child had been baptized. Now, it is rarely my goal to make people feel guilty about much of anything, much less their struggle to regularly make it to worship. I understand the complexities of life and of family schedules. But I appreciated this couple's acknowledgement that their choice to have their children baptized meant something important about staying connected to Jesus through the church. So after their apology, I said something like this. I don't want you to feel guilty about not making it to church, but I will tell you that when you're here, the body of Christ is more complete. I could have said, you fit in here, and we sure do like it when you join us. The church is an interesting place, isn't it? We think differently from one another about lots of things. We don't all look the same or have the same cultural background. We certainly don't vote the same, and we have different experiences in life, yet we all connect here to worship and to learn and to serve. And we do all of that because somewhere down the line, we got acquainted with Jesus and we decided we wanted to live our lives in his service. Katie, Anthony, Jimmy, Anna, Bryn, and Allison, the six of you are about to publicly claim your faith in Jesus Christ. I know you are also on your own journeys of figuring out just what exactly is your purpose and where exactly you fit in God's big world. Really, that's a lifelong journey for all of us, isn't it? Confirmation is never an end point in our faith. It's always a pit stop along the way, a milestone to celebrate learning and growth, a doorway through which we walk toward the next phase of life and faith. Committing ourselves and our lives to Jesus Christ is a daily task for those of us who call ourselves Christian. And as we all live that daily reality, I hope we can always remember that when we find ourselves asking the question, where do I fit in? The answer is and always will be here. You fit in here. And we will always be glad you came to join us. Let us pray. Oh, Holy One, you created us. You made us fearfully and wonderfully. For that, we are so thankful. Yet you know there are times we forget that you have been with us since before we were born. times we forget that you made us on purpose for a purpose. So today, tomorrow, and always, help us remember your deep love for us. And let us never forget our unique place within your church. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.